I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Championship Roundtable. I'm Lewis Shackshaft and I'll be hosting this week's show. I represent Sheffield Wednesday on the podcast, as well as writing for Shoot Football. I'm also your man for Sheffield Wednesday statistics, and my Twitter handle is just my name, at Lewis Shackshaft.
Hi, I'm Andy Buckley-Taylor. I represent Derby County on the podcast. My Twitter handle is at BuckTaylor64, and I also write a blog for the Derbyshire Times group of newspapers.
Hi, I'm Lewis Hobbs. I represent Sheffield United as a fan. Twitter handle is _LH9_, and I write for Football League World.
Right, guys, thanks for joining us today. It's been a while, and it's good to have you back. Unfortunately, I'm podcasting with a Sheffield United fan today, so we'll see how that goes. That's not been done before.
We'll see how that goes.
I know. A good hour of... confrontation, maybe, we shall see. But each person basically now has got a few minutes to discuss what's been happening at their clubs this week, including a review of their first game of the season. So do you want to set us off, Andy, if that's all right?
Yes, well, to start off with at Derby, after the pre-season games, we haven't quite completed what we're hoping to be putting out for the rest of the season from the vibes we're getting from manager Gary Rowett. Over the summer, I think we've made three very good signings. Tom Huddleston has returned to the club, where it all started for him, from Hull City. And also Curtis Davies, his teammate from Hull City, have joined us. And that was a combined fee, I think about $2.5 million for the pair of them. So I think that's a very, yeah...
I was just going to butt in there. Apologies, Andy, but yeah, $2.5 million combined for those two is an absolute steal, to be honest. I mean, if for example, Huddleston is a player that I wish we had got in centre of the park. I think he's a fantastic Championship midfielder. So to coup them £2.5 million, it's an absolute steal. That is, Andy.
Yeah, well, considering we got £2.5 million for Cyrus Christie, who we sold to Middlesbrough, and we moved Christie on for the fact is that we've brought back Andre Wisdom. We had him on loan 3 years ago when we made it all the way to Wembley in the playoffs. And it's a funny game, isn't it? You know, when a player who would be surplus to requirements and who hasn't really quite achieved the level we wanted him to, has gone for more money than we've splashed out on those two players. But Andre Wisdom, if he recaptures the form that he showed last time he was with us, that will be another good signing. But Gary Rowett is still, I think he's wanting to sign at least an attacking midfielder and a wide man. And I think it showed on Friday night, basically, they are the needs... What we're going to have to fill if we are going to push on. As we stand at the minute, I think the squad's a... I think it's a top half of the table squad, but it's certainly not a top six squad. We certainly on... I think on Friday night, if we'd had a little bit more firepower up front, we could have beaten Sunderland. But as it happens... we took an early lead against a run of play. Sunderland got a penalty. Some people, there was a lot to debate as to whether it was a penalty or not. I think it was. I know Butterfield was going down, but I think in that sort of situation, most referees are going to give it. In the second half, both teams had the chances. I mean, Sunderland hit the woodwork. And as ourselves, first Chris Martin, he scooped one over when he had a golden opportunity to score the winner for us. And also late on in the game, David Nugent also fluffed a chance that he had. But, you know, it's early season, and shaking off those cobwebs. And on paper, an away draw at Sunderland's not too bad a way to start it.
Well, I was just going to say that. I mean, before the game, I'm guessing you'd have taken a 1-0 draw away from home, first game of the season, especially at a big club like Sunderland. I mean, obviously, no one knows yet how Sunderland are going to perform this season, but, I mean, I'd certainly take a draw away from home on Friday night. So I'm guessing, are the fans quite happy with that, including yourself, Andy?
Yeah, I mean, I said before the game, I says, let's just not lose. You know, opening day, away, Sunderland, I know they had a bad time of it last season. They've still got some good players in that squad. Simon Grayson, not a bad manager at this level. Yeah, you know, I'm more than happy to pick up a point there.
Yeah, completely, I understand that. Do you want to talk, obviously, Lewis, about Sheffield United?
And, yeah.
Obviously, what's happened this last week, including the game?
Well, it's been a bit of a fairy tale for Sheffield United fans after 6 years down in League One. We've had pre-season going unbeaten, winning every single game, and it's just been fantastic. Then we've made seven signings, and obviously apart from Ched Evans, who I'm sure everyone here has got a different opinion to that, but every other signing that we've made looks like it's going to add something to the team. Bringing in people like Ender Stevens, who Doncaster fans will obviously call him a reject from there, but he dropped down to the League Two and he set fire to the division, and he's come to us, scored three goals in pre-season. He's supposed to be a left-back by trade, but he's been playing fantastic art on wing. And yeah, if Wilder's looking to bring in even two or three more players. We definitely need another defender because our squad depth at the back, especially with us playing three centre-backs, apart from O'Connell, Stearman, Jake Wright and Basham, we haven't really got anyone else apart from youngsters. So we definitely need to bring in another centre-back. I know this week we've had a reported bid rejected from Blackburn for Daryl Lenihan, which if we could bring him in, I think that would be quite a good signing. Nice young defender with a lot to prove in the division. Obviously, being relegated, he'll want to come back up. But it's just been a fantastic ride so far. And going into Brentford, I didn't really know what to expect, because obviously, with being in League One for what seems like forever now, our first game back, I didn't know whether I would have thought we would actually go on to win the game. And especially in the manner that we did win the game, we performed fantastic. It was a brilliant defensive display. We didn't control the game on possession, but we didn't look hurt when they was on the ball. We looked really strong in the midfield. John Fleck and Paul Coutts, they looked like championship midfielders, which I know Paul Coutts does have a lot of experience. I don't know what your opinions are as a Derby fan on Paul Coutts, but
what I will say is the first season he had with us a few years ago, and we was playing him wide out on the right with John Brayford behind him.
Yeah, no.
They linked up brilliantly well. They had a very successful spell together, and they were very effective in linking up. And it was only when Paul Coutts got injured that he dropped out of our team. And unfortunately, he found no way back, because by that time when he regained fitness, somebody else had stolen his place in the team.
Yeah.
But yeah, certainly he did a pretty good job for us, to be honest.
He's even been a strange one with us because under Nigel Clough, he didn't look a decent player. As soon as Wilder came in last year, he put him straight on transfer list, gave him some time in pre-season, and look how that turned out for him. He's one of our better players. But anyway, just continuing against Brentford, we was really good, and we didn't look like we hadn't been a championship team for 6 years. Despite, I don't know if you've seen it, but Jota's miss in the second half. I don't know if you've caught that, but it was absolutely dreadful miss, and we really got lucky on that one. But then we did have two disallowed offside goals, which I haven't had a chance to look back on. But definitely the second one, which were a rebound from a free kick, what Sharp put in the net. It didn't look, from where I was sat, it didn't look like it was offside, but it could have just been a fantastic decision by the ref, so I'm not going to complain about that one. But then we did have a decision where Chris Basham, resulting from a set piece, got pulled down in the box. And to me, it seemed like a clear penalty. But on the highlights that Sheffield United put on YouTube, they didn't include that. So I ain't had a chance to look back at that. But yeah, 1-0 win. I really couldn't be any happier. I'm just looking forward to next weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say that a 1-0 win against Brentford is
a fantastic result.
Yeah, it is. I mean, not only for Sheffield United, a lot of championship teams do come stuck against Brentford.
They're a side who you don't think they're the most intimidating attacking side, but once you play them, their attack and that the Ryan Woods, who plays in midfield for them, he's absolutely fantastic at picking the ball. And for the full 90 minutes, I can't remember if we tackled him once. He's always got so much time on the ball. And he'll definitely be a Premiership player in the future, him. And especially with that Lasse Wiebern, Jota up front. They're fantastic. And credit to Basham and O'Connell for keeping them out. They made some fantastic last-ditch tackles.
But yeah, they've done really well. Yeah, I mean, a victory first game of season, it's obviously going to build confidence for Sheffield United. So obviously, best of luck to them this season. But yeah, winning first game, it's, you know, especially at home. It's, if anything, it's your home form in this league where you have got to win games. So,
yeah, we need to carry on making Bramall Lane fortress.
Exactly. So that's what's going to count this season. But I'll move on to obviously Sheffield Wednesday. So a couple of things in this last week, basically for us, is we unveiled the new kit, so there were a few surprises there. The home kit was as expected, if you like, whole blue colour down the middle with white sleeves. I actually don't mind the home kit. In fact, kits, to be honest, it's something I'm not really interested in, but the away kit got a bit of abuse, if you like. But actually seeing it in person yesterday, I actually don't mind it. An away kit's an away kit. It can be any colour for me. The kit that I'm looking forward to seeing is the third kit, which is unveiled at Owls in the Park in September, which is the white and gold, if you like. So that's a kit that I'm probably most likely going to be purchasing. But the other thing this week, the big so-called deal that's went through and then collapsed is the Johan Giroud. So in the past week or so, Giroud's been linked with Sheffield Wednesday. He's understood to have had a medical which is passed. Essentially, it sounded like he were a good hour, 2 hours away for signing for our club. And apparently, we'd beaten a couple more clubs to it, like Genoa and apparently a Premier League club, but it's obviously all down to money. And then just before kickoff against Preston, understandably the deal had collapsed, or maybe not completely collapsed, but it's the reason being is supposedly Giroud wants a 3-year contract on £30,000 a week, and Sheffield Wednesday, again, apparently it's rumours, if you like, but they've offered him a 12-month contract, £30,000 a week. So, I mean, for me, I don't know why they can't meet in the middle somewhere, and, you know, maybe a two-year deal at £30,000 a week. He's 30-year-old. I don't know why Wednesday are only offering a 1-year contract. I don't know if it's dependent on how often they think he's going to play, whether he's going to, you know, overlook such as Leuven's in the starting 11. But for me, you know, I'd I'd give him a 2-year deal, but there we go. But regarding the football yesterday, I mean, I don't know where to start. Wednesday were just completely lacklustre yesterday. At times they were abysmal. To say we're first game at season, and like Andy touched on earlier, it'd have been nice to just first game at season, just don't lose. Go even 0-0, 1-1, whatever. I wouldn't have cared if they'd have come away with a point. And I know some Wednesday fans are going to say, look, if we're pushing for promotion or we want automatic promotion this season, you've got to be beating teams like Preston. But Preston are no mugs, and nor are any team in this league. And yes, it's disappointing, and I'm disappointed we lost. But the most atrocious thing for me yesterday was that I think we had one shot on goal, and that was barely a shot on goal, if you like. So I don't really know what to say other than just being disappointed at the game yesterday. I mean, we conceded the goal in the 79th minute, so it looked like we were going to hang on for a 0-0 draw, but I can't deny Preston the win. They thoroughly deserved it. They came at us. They were attack after attack, especially in the second half. They missed a couple of decent opportunities. Really, it was only Kieran Westwood who kept us in the game. So whether it was a penalty, I've looked at the replay and I actually think Tom Lee just did get the ball. However, not making any excuses, we deserve to get beat, and that's it, basically, end of story. Can't say much more about that. We'll just have to move on and pick it up on Saturday against QPR. So only time will tell with this one. But yeah, first game of the season, very, very disappointing. But
can I ask you about your shirt? You said your home shirt, is it a blue shirt with white sleeves?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, that's a throwback to the 1960s then.
They've modelled both kits actually on, like you say, kits from previous years. So the home kit effectively is from the 60s, if you like, and the away kit's similar to, I think it was, I could be wrong, but is it the 1990-91 away kit? So it's like a yellow and black striped, really thin yellow-black striped, if that makes sense, or gold, if you like. So that's effectively what they're based on, because it's our 150th year anniversary. So I think, like I said, they're modelling the kits on kits from the past. So, that's what that's about.
I love the retro look.
Yeah, I don't mind the retro look. I actually like the home kit, but I am, like I said, I am looking forward to the away kit, because it was a fan what designed that kit, and it's a really smart kit, so you'll have to check that out when it comes out in September. But moving on to the topics, the first topic, which is which club do you see being the surprise package this season? Obviously, following on from Huddersfield and Reading last season, who both made it to the playoff final unexpectedly, we'd just like to ask the question, if you would like to start with you, Andy, who you think, if there's any club or clubs that you're going to, surprise us this season?
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, the way I see it, I mean, I think there's at least 12 teams that could realistically finish in the top six. So
I agree.
When you're talking about a surprise package, it's difficult to actually put them in the bracket of that. I haven't actually tipped them to be in the top six, but if we are looking at a team that one of the less fashionable teams, that can actually get into the top six and stay there. Even though they lost yesterday, I think Brentford are probably one of those teams, provided they can keep hold of their star players. Jota, for instance, I know he missed one yesterday. But at his best, he can rip any defence apart in that division. He did us last season. And I think Brentford now, they've been in the Championship a few seasons. They've held their own. And maybe they are ready now to make that extra push and really go for it. I know they've been in the top six before, but it's a different kind of setup that they have now. They have more like a continental style of management within the club. And, you know, Brentford could be that team that spoils it for the so-called bigger clubs.
Yeah, I think no one would deny Brentford either a top six finish, if you like, as well, or even ultimately promotion. I mean, I don't think they'll get promoted, but Brentford are a nice little family club, if you like, and a good Championship footballing team to watch. So, yeah, best of luck to them. Is there anyone else, Andy, that you'd like to point out, or is it just Brentford for you that you think will surprise you?
Well, a lot of people had been tipping Bristol City to go down. Now, I think Bristol City, Lee Johnson, not a bad manager there. They just might surprise a few people and be sort of edging towards the top six. But I think if any other teams that we pull out, there's about a dozen teams we could name now, and it wouldn't be a massive surprise if they finished, you know, in the top six. So it's quite a difficult question to answer.
Well, the league being so unpredictable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this season could be the closest season for, like you say, the top two and you know, the playoff teams. It could, it's getting more compact every season, it seems, the Championship, because so everyone beats each other, don't they, effectively? Have you got anyone in mind, Lewis, who you think might throw a few surprises this season?
For me, it's Cardiff.
Mm-hmm.
I think it probably don't...
Is that because of Warnock?
Obviously, that's obviously going to be thrown out, but there is a bit of bias there, yeah, with Warnock. But it's with Warnock, I don't want to be too biased, but he is, in essence, a promotion specialist. You look at his career, he's got 7 promotions. That's probably not the best what any manager's done, but that'll be pretty close to some of the managers. If you look back at his previous work, this is his first full season in charge of Cardiff. He's brought in some good players. He's brought in the likes of Lee Tomlin, who is not the most extravagant signing in the planet, but he gets the job done and he scores goals. Same with like Danny Ward. Last season, he was a star in a bad bunch. Having a good pre-season behind him and a better squad, a more well-rounded squad around him, you don't know what could happen. I think that they might surprise a few people. And with Warnock's experience, he knows this league more than probably any other manager in it. And that's me trying not to be biased. Obviously, there is some bias there, but...
No, you're not being biased, because you could, like you say, you could pick out any team. Like if Huddersfield did it last year and got promoted, then I'm not saying anyone could do it, but there's the opportunities there, isn't it? So you could
even like people obviously look at Sheffield United, Millwall, Bolton, and think, Bolton and Sheffield United, we both had good seasons last year. They've come up, but they're probably just going to be, if they can survive, barking around. But you think, in the past decade, there's been about 3 or 4 teams that have gone on to do double promotion. So it really wouldn't be the strangest thing in the world if a Bolton did just miraculously go up again. We've seen stranger things happen. It's, like you said, Huddersfield going up. No one expected that, but... Anything really could happen, even a team like Ipswich.
You never know. I mean, there's still a month left of the transfer window as well.
Exactly.
Not a month, but, you know, 3 weeks, if you like, three and a half weeks. And then you've got January as well. So, like you say, anything can happen. Yeah, anything can happen. I mean, I've picked out two teams, actually. And it's funny because Sheffield Wednesday played them Saturday. So I've picked out Preston. And that's simply because I like Alex Neil. And I think Preston are good at home. They've brought in Sean Maguire, who's, you know, no one knows a lot about Sean Maguire at the minute, but yesterday he had a really good game. He didn't manage to get on the score sheet, but, you know, he could throw a few surprises and maybe score 15-plus goals this season. And they set up in a 4-1-4-1 formation, and I think that's something what interests me regarding Preston, especially at home, and it seems to work for them. But the other team that I've picked out that could throw a few surprises is, and again, it's down to the manager having a full season this season to give it a go, is QPR under Ian Holloway. I have a feeling that they might, you know, I'm not saying that they're going to finish third and then go up by the playoffs by all means, but they could push, you know, they could do something like what Fulham did last season, maybe finish, you know, fifth, sixth and give it a good go. They've got Connor Washington, who bagged a brace yesterday, and, you know, they've been asleep this last few years, if you like, QPR, and I really think they could throw a few surprises this season. So, you know, only time will tell with that. But the opposite now, we're going to move on to a different topic. So obviously we've talked about surprises going forward, but which manager do you believe will be sacked the first is the next topic. So do you want to have a quick chat about that, Andy, and what are your thoughts?
Prior to the season starting, I was thinking whoever's managing Hull City is going to have quite a task on their hands. They lost a couple of players. Well, I think they've lost players all over that have moved on. But having, you know, just had a quick glimpse of teams, I know they won yesterday, Ipswich, but how much longer is Mick McCarthy going to be employed there? You know, he's got no money, and they seem to be treading water and not really making any progress.
They're on like a downward spiral, haven't they, this last few years? Yeah. And I like Mick McCarthy, and I hate to say that, but they are.
How much, you know, how long can a manager, can it be more of the same, making no progress and remain in the job? I know the guy's got no money.
Yeah.
But you get the feeling that eventually the board there are going to think, you know, they're going to have a look around at one of these managers who can seem to do more with less, you know. But also, what I would say is, any of the teams who finished in the playoff zone last year, you know, your Sheffield Wednesday, Fulham, whatever, if they do have a bad start, if say come in by mid-November and they're really, you know, they're not performing as one would expect, it does put immense pressure on the managers. I know that from at our place, you know, from being, if the following season you're not starting, because the fans are now in an expectant mood, you know, Sheffield Wednesday.
Go on, Andy. Well, I was just going to say, Andy, sorry to butt in, but I'm going to follow on from that, because the two teams that I've picked out, and when I made notes on this, it's exactly what you said. So I didn't know whether to pick out a bigger team, so-called bigger team in inverted commas, that are fighting for promotion, who are underachieving, or pick out a lower team who are just going to be sat at foot of table and their manager gets sacked. So the two that I've picked out is Gary Monk at Middlesbrough. I have a feeling that obviously a lot of people have tipped them to go up either first or second this season. And I think they'll be up there, but I don't see it. I don't know whether they will underachieve. And second team that you've already mentioned, Andy, and we could talk about it after, but I've picked out Sheffield Wednesday as well, and I'm not saying that I want Carvajal to get sacked, and I'm not saying, you know, that it's going to happen. Just stating that you've said, I wrote down October. You've said November. If it gets to those months and we are not, how can I phrase it? But if we are not eighth minimum by them months, it could go. And that, you know, going on yesterday's performance, I know it's first game of season. I don't, you know, you can't read too much into it. It's 45 games to go. It's a hell of a long way to go. But like I say, if it gets to, like you said, Andy, late October, and we're nowhere near, then it's, you know, you've got no option, have you?
No, and also Aston Villa. I mean, Steve Bruce, he seems to have signed every single player that Derby's wanted to sign. And, yeah, I'd say if Aston Villa are not sitting in the top six by October, I think Steve Bruce is going to be under immense pressure as well.
Yeah, yeah. What about you, Lewis? What do you think?
Yeah, well, I technically only have one, but I'll mention what I think about a second. I think Phil Parkinson got a big chance at Bolton. Mm-hmm. I only say that because out of the three teams that came up, if per se all three of those teams struggle, I think there's more of an attachment with, especially with Wilder at United and Neil Harris at Millwall, there's definitely an attachment to the club. And both of those bosses have took the club when they are actually really in a bad place, and they've absolutely changed the club around. With Phil Parkinson, they brought him in last season just to get Bolton back up. There's probably not really any attachment there. But my second one, I don't necessarily think he'll get sacked, but I'm going to say Harry Redknapp, just for the fact I think there's a massive chance that he'll walk very soon into the season. Personally, I just think he's gone into the job. Fair enough. He had three games last season. He kept Birmingham up, and he's gone into the job. They've signed Mark Robertson, Stockdale. Don't get me wrong, two brilliant signings there. But I think he went into the role. Obviously, Birmingham now with the new investors. He probably went into the role thinking that he's going to get a brand new 11. There's going to be tons and tons spent into the club, and he's just going to be able to walk it. And I don't think that's happened at Birmingham. I still think they need a striker. The midfield, they've hardly got anything in the midfield, and I just think Birmingham fans will definitely want to keep him, because say what you want about him, He's a fantastic manager, and he knows English football. But I just think he might get a bit restless because he is a type of manager who thinks he's bigger than the club, obviously. That's just like a stereotype on him. But I just think there's a big possibility of, if Birmingham don't get off to the best start, like they lost yesterday, that he'll walk, and just like he did at previous jobs.
Yeah, you could be bang on the money there. I mean, it's interesting because, you know, obviously what it's like in any division and in football in general. But, you know, I bet by Christmas at least six managers have probably lost their jobs anyway. And come the end of the season, I bet around 60%, you know, about 14 clubs have sacked their manager during the season. And that's just, you know, it's just typical of football these days. But, you know, due to the pressure and expectations and underperforming, and it's only those managers what are overachieving or on track what keep the jobs, isn't it? So you know, exactly, it'll be right. It'll definitely be interesting to see who gets sacked first. But we'll move on to third topic is player watch. So it's going back to our most recent game. So we want to talk about who played well and who disappointed in your game recently. So Andy against Sunderland after your 1-1 draw, who was your best player and who disappointed most?
Our best player in the game overall was Richard Keogh. He's got like a mixed relationship with the fans. Overall, he is a good quality centre half, but he's made, you know, an odd mistake or two in the past two or three seasons, and it does get magnified after Wembley because he made the initial mistake, which, yes, say no more. But Richard Keogh on Friday night was solid. A couple of times he blocked a couple of chances that Sunderland had. He put himself about the park as well. And, you know, there could have been no doubt in that he was man of the match. Although the move of the match for me was the long pass by Tom Huddleston down on the right for Johnny Russell to pick up and Fred through to Bradley Johnson. Who wasn't up to scratch, Andreas Byman. We loaned him out last season to Wolves, who were going to buy him, but they've had a change of manager. So he's come back. He cannot play out on the wing. And I struggle to think of half a dozen decent games that he's had for us. I don't think Byman is going to have a long-term future with Derby. For me, he's a player we should be looking at offloading. And to me, he was possibly the poorest one on Friday night.
Yeah, interesting. Lewis, what about yourself?
Yeah, well, the majority of the team was really good. Mm-hmm. But for me, the one player that stood out was Samir Carruthers. We brought him in last season in January from MK Dons. And due to Mark Duffy being such rich form, he never really got the chance to break into the team last year. But whenever he did play, he looked really skillful, and he had something that the rest of the team didn't offer. Wilders gave him a chance in pre-season, and he's been fantastic, and he was absolutely brilliant yesterday. Every attack was fed straight through Carruthers. He always looked damaging. The two Brentford centre-halves were probably sick of the sight of him after it, because he was just constantly penetrating him. The only flaw I have about him is he got into two or three positions yesterday where he should have just had a crack, took a shot at goal, but it seemed as if he just wanted to walk the ball into back at net. But if he adapts to knowing when to shoot and with improving on his decision making, he's going to be a massive player for us this season. Really, really big. For the player that didn't perform too well, there wasn't really anyone who was particularly bad, but I'd have to say, if I had to pick one, it'd probably be John Lundstrom. We brought him on. We actually brought him on for Carruthers in around the 70th minute, and he didn't really do anything wrong. And I'm probably slating him, but it was probably what Wilder was asking for him. But he just seemed to sit really deep, and when we brung him on, we just seemed to be on a lot more pressure. We didn't really seem to be attacking as much, so it was probably more to the just Wilder wanting to sit back and hold the victory. But
it's always difficult to pick someone when you win. I know it is. But that makes sense.
Yeah, he just didn't like really seem a spark. He just seemed to just sit back and mm-hmm. not really offer anything to the team. But I don't want to slate him too much, because it were probably just the tactics. But yeah, that's what I think.
Cool. Myself, I mean, I've already mentioned that the best player for us was Kieran Westwood, and that's simply because he had a lot of work to do and a lot of saves to make, and you know he pulled off a string of saves, and for me he was easily our best player. You know, he's been consistent for us for a few years now, and we're very, very lucky to have Kieran Westwood. I mean, I'm not being biased. I'm sure you guys will agree, but I believe he's one of best goalkeepers in the league. And you know, he's a confident and agile goalkeeper. And like I say, we're very, very lucky to have him. And if it weren't for him yesterday, you know, we could have got beat 2-3-0. And I'm just, you know, keeping Westwood were a priority, and we managed to do that. And you know, effectively, we only lost because he conceded a penalty. So, you know, again, that wasn't down to Westwood. He was easily our best player. But disappointing. Take your pick. I mean, I've actually written down everybody else except Westwood. And I'm being serious when I say that. I mean, if I were to pick out one player, I genuinely don't think I can. I could name seven players. The players what I wouldn't pick would be Jack Hunt. Padil played okay. Forestieri put in some effort. But like I say, best player by a mile, it's just got to be Westwood. Everybody else disappointed, and I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm hoping next time on the podcast it'll be flip reverse and we've won, and you know, I'm struggling to pick a player that played well. So you know, we'll see. We'll just hopefully taking that into the next game. Something needs to change. Yesterday was just not good enough. But we'll move on to the next topic, which is match previews and predictions. We're going to exclude the League Cup, obviously, for the purpose of the Championship Roundtable podcast. So we'll move on to you, Andy, and Derby, I believe, are at home to Wolves in their next Championship fixture, if you'd just like to preview that.
Yes. I don't know what to think, really. On the one hand, we may have one or two players in to fill the gaps that we need. Hopefully we will, because Wolves are going to be a different proposition to last season when we doubled them. They spent heavily in the summer. And to me, they look like a side that's going to be there or thereabouts at the end of the season. I think what Gary Rowett has got to do, if we've got the couple of new players that he wants, that's brilliant. If we haven't, you see, he's got to move away from this 4-3-3 that we had under Steve McLaren. On Friday night, when Matty Vidra and David Nugent came on, we switched to a 4-2-3-1. And that, for me, is going to be the key to beating Wolves. It's going to be a very, very tough game. I don't like drawing at home. I don't like dropping points at home. But I will be very happy not to lose to them. And obviously, I want to win. But I'm predicting probably another 1-1.
Yeah, I can see that happening. To be honest, I think I'd have gone with a 0-0 or a 1-1 draw in that game. Yourself, Lewis, I believe you've got a very tough encounter away to Middlesbrough. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. It's going to be a really tough game. Obviously, you never want to go up against one of the relegated teams away. But the positives what you can take from it is we won yesterday and they didn't. So we've got momentum going into the game. Obviously, on paper, they've got an outstanding side. They've spent close to like 20 million on strikers alone. We're going to have to be really defensively prepared for it. So I really don't know what's going to happen. If we could get a draw, that would be absolutely fantastic.
Well, I was just going to say, if you get anything other than a loss away to Borough, then, you know, if it's 0-0 or 4-4, you know, I bet you come away an happy man. So
as long as we don't take a punt in, like, as long as we don't lose 3-4-0, I'm probably going to be satisfied with the result. But yeah, if we could get a 1-1 or a 0-0, like that, I'd be over the moon with that. But it'll be an interesting game, definitely.
Yeah, I think if you came away with any draw, or like you say, if you know, minimal a loss, then you're gonna, like I say, come away a happy man, and that's only just gonna build the confidence for the team going forward after the win against Brentford. But yeah, on to Sheffield Wednesday. We've got a home tie against QPR. To be honest, at home, last few seasons under Carvajal, I'm usually quite confident. I mean, QPR had a really good 2-0 win on Saturday, and Connor Washington, you know, like I said earlier, bagged a brace, and we've got to be wary of him. It might be this season where he finds his form and he comes into his own, if you like, and you know, he could end up being one of the league top scorers. So, like I say, we're going to have to be wary of him. Tactically, I'm not sure if there's any underlying issues at Sheffield Wednesday at the minute. We're not, you know, on paper, we've got a really good first 11 and squad. We've got good players on the bench. You know, we've got the best strike force, I believe, in, you know, us and Middlesbrough in the league, and it's crazy to think that we're just not creating and scoring goals, because that would be the complete opposite problem you'd think we'd have. Because actually, defensively, we're quite sound, usually. Like I say, it's at home, so, you know, we've got to start I know it's only second game, but you've got to win your home games. You touched on it, Andy, earlier. You've just got to win your home games in this league, because when you play away from home, you're lucky if sometimes when you get that 1 point or 3 points away from home, it's a massive bonus. So to win at home, it's essential. However, I'm going to contradict myself and predict a 1-1 draw. I can just see us drawing on Saturday. I don't know why. Like I say, we're struggling to score goals at the minute. I mean, I don't know the answer to who we should play up front. I mean, for me, he got it wrong yesterday. He played Forestieri up front, and I'd always start Forestieri on the left wing. And then you've got a choice and pick between either Rhodes, Hooper, Winall. You've even got Zhao, and you've got Fletcher, but I'd be starting Forestieri left with Reach left back, and then I'd be playing between either Rhodes, Hooper, and Fletcher up front. Obviously, one of them coming off from the bench. So, yeah, but I don't know why. Like I said earlier, I think QPR could be a surprise package this season under Ian Holloway, and I'm going to stick with a 1-1 draw. But moving to the next topic. So we're just going to ask you quickly, guys, if you'd like to predict where you think your team will finish in the league this season. So just a final league standing. So, Andy, where do you think Derby will finish?
Well, I've done a league table based on squads that, you know, players that teams have already signed. Mm-hmm. At the minute, with the current squad, 8th to 10th, but a couple of decent signings in the areas that I've mentioned, and it's definitely top 6.
Okay, it's interesting that, because I've actually wrote down guesses for your teams too, and I've wrote Derby, I think, will finish 5th this season. I think that they've had, you know, they've had a couple, they had, you know, 5 years ago, they were one of the best teams in division. They've had a couple of bad years, if you like, in terms of they've not carried much momentum. But I think they're getting there and gradually getting back to where they should be. And I think that with, like you mentioned earlier, they've got Huddleston and some very good players. I know, like you said, potentially they still need like a wide man and a striker, but I've got them down for finishing 5th. I think they'll have a good season. What about yourself, Lewis? Where do you think Sheffield United, or you, if you want to predict where Derby will finish too?
I'll carry on for Derby. Derby for me is a really weird one, but you could probably pick 12 or 14 teams who could potentially finish in top 6. Derby have got a magnificent team. Like any of Derby's starting 11, I'd more or less take at the lane. So I don't know whether they've quite got to finish in the top 6, but I definitely think they'll be knocking around the 5th to 8th, around that area, definitely. Mm-hmm. On to Sheffield United. I think it's just going to be a season of consolidation. We're probably not going to be challenging anywhere near playoffs, but I don't think we're going to be worrying about relegation either. Mm-hmm. I think it's just going to be maintaining in the division, just getting back to terms with it. I reckon around 14th to 16th for Blades this year, which I'd be more than happy with.
Oh, yeah, if you can get anywhere close to halfway, that'd be a first season in the Championship. Like you say, for 5-6 years, it would be a good finish. I've wrote down that they'd finish 18th this season. What about yourself, Andy? Where would you predict Sheffield United to finish?
Yeah, anywhere from 14th to 18th. I think they'll stay up.
Yeah.
It would be... I think a matter of this year is stopping up, and I think they'll do it quite comfortably, to be quite honest. Don't quite see them challenging for the top 6 or 8 at the minute, but you know that comes with time. But I think their fans will enjoy this season, and I don't think they'll have any relegation worries.
No, I don't either. I think they'll stay pretty safe all season, if you like. Obviously, for Sheffield Wednesday, I really wish Wednesday could push for automatics, but I don't see it again. I still think we're missing something. I've written down that I think we'll finish 6th this season. I think we're going to practically replicate what we've done the last 2 years, to be honest. We finished sixth first season under Carvajal, then fourth last season, and I think we're going to finish somewhere similar again this year. What about you guys? I'm interested to hear what you've got to say.
Well, Sheffield Wednesday, similar to last season, you know, I think you're a funny team because I think you're just that one player from being something special. Mm-hmm. But it's identifying, it's just one player in a certain position that there's something that isn't quite there. It's a player that will get all the other ones to suddenly click, you know, and if you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I mean, is Tom Huddleston available for loan? Or?
Yeah.
But it's that match-winning player, you know,
yeah.
One of these standout players. That is what I think is holding you back a bit.
Yeah, I agree. No one in our team, I think, like I say, I could list seven players in the Wednesday squad where you think, look, brilliant championship player, but none of them seem to take the bull by the horns, if you like, whereas like last season Reading had Camogan, Brighton had remind me, began with a K as well, I forgot his name.
Knockout.
You know what I mean? And those players, they're the ones what when you're playing, you can play well, but they'll pull out something out of the bag at any given moment, and they're the player what win the games. And our player effectively is, you know, you could say it's Forestieri, but we also need. I really like Gary Hooper, and he's had injury problems. He could be our man if he stays fit. But
I thought Boyd was a strange signing.
I was very pleased that we signed Boyd. You know, he's got obviously Premier League experience. He's gone up in the Championship. I'm pleased we've signed Boyd because he's a winger, and that's what we effectively we needed a winger to come in. But we're still, for me, it'd be nice for us to get another box to box midfielder like Kieran Lee. When Forestieri, Kieran Lee, Sam Hutchinson, Gary Hooper, when they're not in our squad or they aren't performing, that's when we fall short. And a lot of last season is they all suffered with injuries. So for me, we need a box-to-box midfielder for when Lee's not available, and we still need, obviously, that central defender I touched on earlier. Whether Giroud will happen, I don't know. But if not him, somebody else. So, yeah, what are your guys' final standings position, do you think, for Sheffield Wednesday?
Yeah, like, continue what you just said there. Like, I agree, but I agree and I don't, because I think you do. I think Forestieri, on his day, he's one of the best players in the Championship, and if he can find a consistent form where game in, game out, he's playing at the top level, he's definitely a player that can take you to Premiership. But I think, like you said, you need a box to box midfielder. I think if you could find yourself just a tall, strong, just a midfielder that can just sit in the middle of the park, and he's good at everything. Yeah. A bit like John Fleck, but you just need. I think you're just a mid, like a just.
I know what you. It's what Aaron Moy was for Huddersfield.
Yeah,
last
yeah, exactly.
Season.
Yeah, that's it. It's just like a talisman that can just sit in midfield. Yeah. So, but I do think. I think it's another year in playoffs for Wednesday.
Yeah, I've got to agree. I think Wednesday will finish playoffs again this season. Can we do then? We'll just move on quickly to quick predictions for top two and bottom three this season. I'll go first, actually. So my top two, I've predicted, not in any particular order, but I've put Aston Villa and Fulham. I think Fulham will give it a good go this season, following on from last year. I think they've, you know, got some momentum, really good players attacking. That I believe they want, you know, probably the best team in the league, if you like, or were back end of last season. So I've gone Villa and Fulham, and to be relegated I've gone again in no order, but Millwall, Bolton and Burton Albion. What's your thoughts, Andy?
On the relegation, I think Burton Albion will stay up. I agree with the other two. It's that third one. I'm stumped about naming the third one. Top two, I'll stick with a couple of weeks ago, I sat down and I then, and I'm going to have to keep with it for the minute, my top two prediction was actually Middlesbrough and Wolves.
Okay. What about yourself, Lewis?
Yeah. For my top two, a mixture of both, both of yours, I'm going for Villa and Wolves. I think if Wolves aren't challenging for automatic, it's just an absolute footballing travesty. Like, with how much money they've spent, I think they've legit took, like, the Man City way of the Championship. And with the money they've spent, like, the signings, like, Ruben Neves, yeah, we don't know what he's going to be like in the Championship, but on paper, what a signing that is. Just players like that, Leo Bonatini up front, it's going to be fantastic for them.
Mm-hmm.
And for the bottom three, I'm going with Bolton and Millwall, same as you guys. And then my third one, Barnsley. And that's just down to... They've got a good manager in Heckingbottom, but in the past, like, season and a half, they've lost Roberts, Scowen, Watkins, Winnell, and they haven't replaced any of them. And I just think it's going to catch up with them this season, and I think they're going to be going.
Well, yeah, I can see them definitely being down there, if you like. So, yeah, we agree on most of them, actually, other than maybe a couple, don't we? So, fair play, we'll have to, you know, we've got to wait till May to find out. So, unfortunately, we are out of time, guys. So, thanks to everyone for listening to this week's show. I would also like to thank Andy and Lewis for joining us. If you would like to state to the listeners where people can find you and any, you know, any topics that you're involved in, now would be a good time.
Andy Buckley Taylor on Twitter at BuckTaylor64 is my Twitter handle. And I also do a blog about Derby County for the Derbyshire Times group of newspapers.
Lewis Hobbs, my Twitter handle is _LH9_. And I do quite a bit of writing for Football League World, so writing on everything Championship, League One and League Two. So that'd be good if you could check that out. Thanks.
Cheers, guys. I've been your host, Lewis Shackshaft. You can catch me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, at Lewis Shackshaft. Obviously, I represent Sheffield Wednesday on the podcast, and I write for Sheffield Wednesday for Shoot Football. I'm big on Wednesday statistics and upcoming in this next few weeks. If any of you guys end up buying or checking out Late Tackle magazine, I've done a article and regarding Sheffield Wednesday and is it their season for promotion in that magazine. So you can check that out if you come across it. But I'd like to thank everyone for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Cheers, guys.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.